This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we welcome our streaming audience. Please forgive me, I didn't welcome you at the beginning of the service, but all of us are welcome to be here in God's house, in His presence. He is indeed with us. God's word for us today takes us back to the very beginning, early part of Jesus' life. And if you look in the book of Luke, you'll find that just prior to this event in Jesus' life, 40 days after his birth, where his parents prepare to take him to the temple to be presented to the Lord. Just before this, on his eighth day of life, Jesus is circumcised and named. In Jesus' circumcision, he sheds blood for the first time. For what purpose? To fulfill God's law. We often forget that that is what Jesus came to do. He came to fulfill God's law, fully human, fully God, to become the final sacrifice for sin. Truly, the final sacrifice for the law. Jesus fulfills all Old Testament law in his life, death, and resurrection. The Old Covenant was done, completed, satisfied by Jesus. And at the same time, Mary and Joseph are preparing Jesus to be presented at the temple. That's one side of our story. They're getting ready to take Jesus to be presented to the temple to satisfy the law of the Lord. And I always wanted to say this in the sermon, so you have to hear it, and I'm sorry, but this is the way it goes. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I don't know about any of you, but when I was growing up, Roy Rogers, I was a fan of Roy Rogers, and that always occurred. Believe it or not, it still happens. In Star Wars, meanwhile, in a galaxy far, far away, it's a technique to move you from one place to another. But what's interesting about what is being done by Luke is that he introduces Mary and Joseph in this particular event in Jesus' life. Mary and Joseph and Jesus on one hand, on the other, meanwhile, in the temple, is Simeon. Simeon is introduced as a God-fearing, very religious man who is in the temple day and night, who had been promised by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he met the Lord's Christ. The Lord's Christ simply means the anointed one, the Messiah, the one they have been waiting for. He's been promised that he will see him. And then suddenly they come together. Mary and Joseph, the baby Jesus, and Simeon. Simeon is in the temple. He's in the Holy Spirit. Immediately he takes up the child Jesus and he blesses God. And he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory, people Israel. People brought babies to the temple daily in order to fulfill God's law. How did he know this was God's anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah that he had been waiting for, the one whom he had been promised by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he met him? How does he know this baby is the one, the only Jesus? It might surprise you to know he knows it in the same way you know it. He knows it in the same way you know it. When I was 13 years old, I was confirmed in the Methodist Church. And I thought, there was a lot going on in my life when I was 13 years old. In fact, I only lived at home sometimes. However, I made it through confirmation, and I remember the pastor instructing me that, okay, you're making a commitment to your church, to God, and your family, that you will honor all that you've learned in confirmation. And I can remember thinking, as a 13-year-old thinking I was smarter than I really was at the time, that, well, this seems like a pretty good way to live one's life. And so I was confirmed. Wasn't long after that, I left home permanently. And for about 2 years, I didn't go to church at all. That's not uncommon for confirmands. I don't recommend it. Not because I'm now a pastor, but because of what I missed in those 2 years. And I, be very honest with you, am very blessed to be standing before you rather than in jail someplace. That could have very easily happened. But because of people in my life who acted and led me in the right way, 2 years later, a friend of mine began picking me up every Sunday and taking me to his church, which happened to be a Lutheran church. I attended that church for about a year and a half, and we got a new pastor. And that pastor one day stopped me after worship, and he said, "You're here every Sunday, but you're not a member. Would you like to be?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Okay, you have to take confirmation." Actually, he didn't say that way. He didn't say it that way, and I say it this way myself often. You get to take confirmation. And truly, we are blessed in almost everything we do, because in Christ, we get to do the things we do for Him. And we're rewarded and blessed in ways that we aren't even aware. It was in that confirmation class that I learned, and I probably was supposed to learn it in the first confirmation I took. I don't really know one way or the other. I don't remember. But what struck me as I went through the confirmation class was the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. And I know I've shared this with you before, but to me, it changed my life. I cannot, by my own reason, believe or even come to Jesus or come to God except by the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift of God. Faith through the Holy Spirit is a gift of God. And that's how Simeon knows it's Jesus. He's filled with the Holy Spirit as he comes into the temple. And when he sees Jesus, he testifies to the truth of Christ, that indeed he is the one who has come to take away the sin of the world, to be a light to the Gentiles. And if you search Old Testament scripture, you have a hard time finding where the Israelites truly believed that God was for everybody. They thought that God was only for them. They thought the Messiah would come for them. But truly, Simeon understands who Jesus is, and that he comes to set all mankind free from sin, to grant to them salvation forever. By faith, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are saved and justified through Jesus alone. We really have little and truly have nothing to do with it. It is a gift of God. Out of God's divine love, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit that we may indeed see Jesus for who he is. And through his action for you and for me and for the whole world, we have the gift of salvation. It's God's plan. And God has fulfilled it in Jesus Christ. We give praise and thanks to God today, tomorrow, and forever as we see Jesus revealed to us in his presentation in the temple. And really what we see in the temple is a transfer of the presence of God from the temple to Jesus. Where Jesus is, that is where God's presence is. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, God promises to us that not only is he for us, with us, but he's in us. Where we are, God's presence is. Because he's constantly coming to us. And he comes, and he comes, and he comes. Amen, amen, amen. We rise for prayer.